Not what you wanted to hear, but Bank of America today said there's a 1 in 3 chance for a recession in the next 12 months. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 12th day of August. Thanks for being with us, everybody. It eats away more and more of Americans' income, and the costs keep rising. We'll tell you what that is coming up next. Have you heard about something called the Wealth Works? Well, sounds good, but is it? Hungry? How about a lifetime of pasta? Glyphosate is back in the news. Those stories and more, along with Laura Kennard from Drake University and dmbizmixer.com, about all kinds of things going on in the metro. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Hey, and thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Well, according to Bank of America, the risk of a recession is rising. Ethan Harris is a global economist for Bank of America, and he wrote this morning, quote, "Our official model has the probability of a recession over the next 12 months pegged at about 20%, but our subjective call based on a slew of data and events leads us to believe it's closer to a 1 in 3 chance," end quote. So what's fueling all this? Well, there's a whole host of things. Uncertainty around the U.S.-China trade war and a global economic slowdown have caused interest rates to tumble, and that's weighed on the major stock averages in recent weeks. Last month's jobs report did show a strong consumer spending trajectory, but business investment is low as investors and business owners juggle a new set of tariffs and fiscal policy uncertainty. In addition, 3 of 5 economic indicators that track business cycles, and those 3 are auto sales, industrial production, and aggregate hours worked, are now at levels reached right before previous recessions. Just in case you've run out of stuff to worry about. Well, you know, raising kids in America was never cheap, but now childcare costs are rising to record levels and it's squeezing families. The Motley Fool has this story out today. According to Care.com, nearly half of U.S. families now spend 15% or more of their household income on childcare. And 2/3 of parents say they're spending more on childcare now than they did last year. So, what are the numbers like? Well, currently it costs $211 on average a week to enroll an infant in a daycare center. The average weekly cost for a nanny? Well, that's a whopping $596. Yeah, a week. Even parents with school-aged children, those who only need coverage for a few hours a day so they can work, are feeling the strain. The average cost of an after-school sitter is now $244 a week. Now, these costs aren't just eating into families' budgets. They're hurting their careers. A good 26% of parents have switched from full-time work to part-time to save money on childcare, and they've slashed their household income in the process. And, get this, 25% of moms have left the workforce altogether. Well, today The Atlantic had this big story about something called Wealth Works. Now, while that sounds cool, the publication says it's anything but good for workers. In an age of persistently high inequality as far as wages go, work in high-cost metros catering to the whims of the wealthy, like grooming them, stretching them, feeding them, driving them, has become one of the fastest-growing industries. The MIT economist David Autor calls it Wealth Work. So what is it? Well, low skill, low pay, and disproportionately done by women, these jobs congregate near dense urban labor markets, multiplying in neighborhoods with soaring disposable income. Between, get this, 2010 and 2017, the number of manicurists and pedicurists doubled, while the number of fitness trainers and skincare specialists grew at least twice as fast as the overall labor force. So, Well, let's continue. According to the article, WealthWorks falls into two basic categories. First, full-time retail and service jobs at places like nail salons and spas. Folks there are making around, $30,000 a year working in high-wealth metro areas. But because they can't afford to live near their place of work, they've got long commutes from lower-cost neighborhoods. Now, these arrangements aren't merely time-consuming. They can also be exploitive. For example, New York nail salons are notorious for flouting minimum wage laws and other labor regulations, and massage parlors across Florida have often served as fronts for human trafficking. A second category is the Uber for X economy, says economists. That nebulous network of people contracted through online marketplaces for driving, delivery, and other on-demand services. Optimistically, these jobs offer autonomy for workers and convenience for consumers, many of whom aren't wealthy. But the business models that keep these firms aloft rely on the strategic avoidance of laws like the Fair Labor Standards Act, which regulates minimum wage and overtime pay. These laborers often do the work of employees with the legal protections of contractors, which is to say hardly any at all. In both types of situations, the relationship between wealth workers and their customers is easily exploited and often impersonalized, an oddity considering the intimacy of the work, which involves hair and nails and massaging skin, entering a stranger's home to assemble his bedroom, or even welcoming him into your car. While many enjoy having the freedom to work when they want, many of these wealth workers, it would seem, then must turn to other sources of support, from healthcare to even food. You want to see all the numbers? Why don't you Google WealthWorks The Atlantic? It's an interesting story. Well, now in its sixth year, Olive Garden is selling their never-ending pasta pass for $100. This is where you can indulge in Olive Garden fare for 9 weeks of unlimited pasta and sauces from their never-ending pasta bowl menu. The deal also comes with unlimited soup or salad and breadsticks. But if you want toppings like grilled chicken or vegetables, it's going to cost you extra. The never-ending pizza pass goes on sale on Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time. But if that's not enough time and pasta for you, Olive Garden says 50 people for another $400 can get an upgrade to what the company is calling their lifetime pasta pass. Those 50 lucky diners have 48 hours from the time they receive an email alerting them of their eligibility to snap up one of the lifetime passes. Olive Garden will work its way through the list of early pass buyers until the 50 are taken. Guests have to be 18 years of age to purchase a lifetime pass, and it never expires, though the menu may change occasionally. The passes are only available to the person whose name appears on the card. And now you know, if you're a pasta fanatic, you know where to go. The German company Bayer, which purchased Monsanto for $63 billion, is now on the hook for lots of cash as it fights off Roundup-related lawsuits from more than 13,000 farmers, landscapers, and gardeners. The company has lost three high-profile court cases since its takeover of Monsanto last summer. However, it successfully reduced the combined jury awards from close to $2.4 billion to less than $200 million. Well, now the company is getting some help from the White House. The Trump administration is refusing to approve product labels warning that glyphosate, that's the active ingredient in Roundup, is a carcinogen. The Environmental Protection Agency's new guidance is a reaction to California regulators who have required product labels to warn that glyphosate potentially causes cancer, and they've been doing that since 2017. The EPA administrator said in a statement the warnings are false and added that the EPA will, quote, not allow California's flawed program to dictate federal policy, end quote. Now, there isn't scientific consensus on whether glyphosate causes cancer. The World Health Organization's cancer agency found that glyphosate is, quote, probably carcinogenic to humans, end quote. However, the EPA conducted its independent evaluation and found it is not likely to be a carcinogenic to humans. Who knows, right? How well do you adapt? Think about that for just a moment. Before you answer that question, got to share this quick story with you. You know, we've all heard about IQ, but have you heard about AQ? A columnist for the BBC calls it the adaptability quotient, and she says it's becoming the X factor for career success. The good news, according to scientists, is that your AQ, that would be your adaptability quotient, can be developed over time. A senior lecturer at MIT suggests the following steps. Strive to keep an open mind and stay open to fresh possibilities. Keep an open heart, which might help you to appreciate someone else's perspective. And lastly, be open to the unknown and even, at times, the uncomfortable. Adapt. Adapt and win, it would seem. The AQ. Coming up next, we've got Laura Kennard. She's going to be talking about networking and business, maybe a little bit of AQ, who knows. And we're also going to talk about the Great Iowa State Fair. Stay with us. It is the Business News Headlines for a Monday.